Okay, I think we're all ready. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court, I'm Susan Walker, Counsel for Appellant National Liability and Fire Insurance Company.
I think if you keep your voice up a little, that would help, or maybe get the mic a little closer because we're recording. Thank you.
So I want to take a step back from the briefing that the Court has reviewed and look at this case from a common sense, concrete perspective and focus on the two different insurance policies that were at issue in this case and the different types of risk that those two policies cover. Because I think doing so illustrates that the judgment entered in favor of the Appellee Landmark American Insurance Company should be reversed and judgment entered in favor of National. So I'll begin with the National Auto Policy. And that policy was issued to SBR Construction Company. And SBR is a roofing company. And the policy was issued to cover risk associated with SBR's use of vehicles in its business. And those are transportation risks. And the transportation functions of these vehicles is to move the specialized equipment used in SBR's business from point A to point B, including the specialized equipment, for example, that was attached to SBR's tanker, and that is the self-contained unit, the pump motor, the pump, and the spray.
And you have a special exclusion in your policy for that equipment.
Exactly, yes. Your Honor.
So and when somebody's talking about an operator in your policy, you're talking about a driver.
That is correct.
And when they're talking about operating the equipment, there's a specific exclusion for that because you're not insuring the operation of the equipment on the back of the truck.
Exactly. And it's common sense because...
But you cover maintenance, and maintenance includes maintenance of equipment attached to the auto, which this was.
Yes, and I think that's a excellent question to focus on the way these provisions work in a policy. So an exclusion removes coverage that would otherwise be within the policy's insuring agreement. So, for example, the auto policy, it insures risks associated with the maintenance, the ownership, the use of a vehicle. But what the exclusion does is to, and you wouldn't need an exclusion unless it was one of those items that would be within the insuring agreement. So the exclusion functions to say, but this policy does not apply to the operation of pump and spraying equipment attached to a vehicle.
Well, would there be any situation in which National's auto policy would cover an incident caused by the operation or maintenance of equipment such as a pump that was affixed to the pump?
That was not fixed.
That was affixed to the truck.
No.
So there would never be a situation?
That's correct. The auto policy specifically, plainly, clearly excludes operation, injury arising from the operation of the pump and spray equipment.
But that's the nub of the question, right? The district court thought that this was not really operations, it was part of maintenance. Because when you repair something, you've got to ultimately, at the end of that repair process, test it to see if the repair actually works. So is your argument then that if you repair the equipment, we will cover it, but the moment that you basically test to see if that repair works, then that's the moment that coverage no longer applies?
That's correct. And I think that just look at it exactly as the language is in the two policies.
But does that defy common sense?
I don't believe it does defy common
sense. What if you were driving the car and then the pump for some reason spewed, you're driving along and the pump spewed asphalt on someone on the side of the road? Would that be covered?
That would be within the operation of the exclusion if the pump and spraying equipment were operating. And that's a very good illustration because...
Wait, you would not cover that?
We would not cover that.
If you're driving the car, you're not working the pump, You're driving the car, but somehow driving the car, maybe you slam on the brakes and the pump spews asphalt on someone on the side of the road. Exactly. You would not cover that?
Would not cover that. And I'd like to explain why. Again, you go back to how the insurance policy is structured. There's an insuring agreement. We insure use of the vehicle. But this policy does not apply to operation of the pump and spraying equipment.
But if you listen to Judge Callahan's analogy, if you're driving down the road and you run into somebody and the asphalt sprays on somebody, it's not caused by operation of the equipment. It's caused by operation of the vehicle, and you have coverage. So, okay.
I
think you're not helping yourself.
Okay, it all depends.
I mean, it's like I'm never covered by anything that would ever happen, and therefore I think you take away from your argument that maybe has some traction.
Okay, so.
And that's why people hate insurance companies, because everyone says that their policies cover nothing.
Well, that is, I definitely am not saying the policy covers nothing.
Well, but he never drive it. It was pretty clear that they weren't operating the pump in my hypothetical. They were operating the vehicle, and the pump was, and because of their operation of the vehicle, the pump somehow exploded.
Well, then I misunderstood the hypothetical.
Well, it was pretty clear. I think you misunderstood that we didn't like your answer.
Well, I was assuming that the pump operator, but I would like to pursue that point that the language in the policy deals with operation of the pump and spray equipment without tying it to a particular situation.
Well, here the car isn't driving, so you have better facts, but your logic of trying to get out of everything is not helping the argument that I think has some traction.
Well, I think, and the case is the case with these facts.
I know, but when we have hypotheticals, we really try to test people's logic. And when their logic comes to, I am not responsible no matter what, no how, and that. Let me ask you this. Are there situations where there's an accident that could be covered by both policies here?
Again, I believe the answer to that is no, that the coverage for, again, going back to what we're talking about, which is injury arising out of the operation of pump and spraying equipment. If that is the injury, the policies are mutually exclusive. They have mere provisions to eliminate that coverage under the auto policy, and there's a provision in the CGL policy, the landmark CGL policy, that specifically restores coverage for that, removes it from its auto exclusion.
Well, but then you're going back to essentially the interpretation, right? Now, let's assume that this was not insurance company versus insurance company, and it's insurance company versus insured. It's going to be construed against the insurance company. That language in the insurance policy that says you're covering maintenance of an auto, and an auto includes equipment that's attached to it, I think the natural reading of that, if you construe it in favor of an insured, would be, well, you said you'd cover maintenance, right? I think the difficulty in this case arises because the two of you are arguing kind of against each other, and the language of both policies appear to be covering what happened in this case. Going back to Judge Callahan's question, couldn't we then say in maintaining this auto, which is covered by National, Mr. Clark was operating equipment that was permanently attached to the auto that would be covered by Landmark.
That's exactly our case, and that is what I have been saying, is that
but then it falls within maintenance, what he was doing.
Right, and in the briefing I referred to a false dichotomy that was created in the result in the case, and that's the false dichotomy of saying it has to be either maintenance or operation of the pump. No, it's the auto policy covers maintenance of an auto, but it has the exclusion for operation of specialized equipment attached to the auto.
And that's the question. Is this conduct part of maintenance, which the district court concluded that it was part of maintenance because it's in the process of maintaining it, he's testing to see if it works. He's not a person who's basically hired to spray tar for roofing purposes, that's what's contemplated in the exclusion. We're not going to cover it if you're operating the equipment and then somebody gets injured. But we'll cover it if you are in the process of maintaining or repairing, right?
Yes, and I think that again, it goes back to understanding how an exclusion works in a policy. An exclusion removes something, coverage for something that otherwise would be included. There's an intersection, an overlap.
Well, you're not agreeing that there's an intersection here, but hypothetically, if you have Venn diagrams, can there be policies that have an intersection? Are you saying as an insurance company that can never happen? If there are two insurance companies, there can be no intersection ever.
I think that the way the policies...
I'm not asking this policy. I know what you're saying here. Can there be a situation where there are two insurance policies in place that have an intersection?
The auto and CGL policies are written to be mutually exclusive on that so that the insured doesn't buy duplicative coverage.
All right, but let's say they don't write it right. So that's how insurance companies intend to write it. But is it possible that with their loose language that there can be an intersection?
Not with the policy language we have in these cases. These are mere...
I'm not asking you in this case. I am saying hypothetically, can there be a situation where two insurance policies have an intersection of coverage?
Of course, because if you're saying different policies, different language, it all depends on the language in the policy. So hypothetically, there could be different types of policies.
And when there is an intersection of coverage, what do insurance companies do? How do they decide how they parse that out? They can agree that they both have some coverage, right? And then they fight it out.
Well,
or settle the case.
And perhaps what the court is suggesting is, can there ever be a situation where two different types of policies cover a loss? And I think the Partridge case is an illustration of that. And that's where the hair trigger gun was in a vehicle and the car was being driven and a bump and the gun went off. And both policies, that was a concurrent causation case. You had two separate...
Okay. Do you want to save any time for rebuttal?
Yes, I'd like to save 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, you've got 38 seconds then.
Okay. So, you know, the district court worried that the application of the exception in the exclusion, and I'm talking about the CGL policy now, the district court did not want to apply the exception in the exclusion that restores coverage otherwise removed by the exclusion for the operation of pump and spraying equipment because the court reasoned that it would eviscerate the auto exclusion in the CGL policy. And I think that illustrates exactly how the overlap of maintenance and operation of this specialized equipment works. It doesn't eviscerate at all the exclusion because there could be maintenance of the auto that would be within it, for example, if the engine were being worked on, if the carburetor, whatever. The only thing that is within that exception is when maintenance occurs, if it involves the operation of the pump and spraying equipment, then that's going to be within that exception in the exclusion that says our auto exclusion does not apply to operation of pump and spray equipment attached to the vehicle. And that makes perfect sense since that policy is insuring risk associated with the business, with the operation of the specialized equipment. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is David Tartaglio. I'm here for the Appellee Landmark American Insurance Company.
Are you using all the time or are you sharing with someone?
I'm using all the time.
Okay.
Please. Let me start with the hypothetical that Your Honors posed a moment ago and tie it back to this case. I'd like to tie it into the specific facts of this case. As Your Honors pointed out, if the truck is driving down the street and tips over and something happens involving the equipment, that plainly is not a rise out of the operation of the pump. And in this case, it's That's a little more extreme, but this case, same conclusion applies, because when we look at what was happening here, this repairman, what did he actually do? He came, he welded the cover of the pump motor. The pump was not pumping. It was not spraying. So he welded the cover. It looked like it was ready to go. He didn't, we have stipulated facts. He did not engage the pump. What he did was he turned the pump motor on to see if it was operational.
Well, what he should have done is he should have made the guy that repaired it check it and let him get third-degree burns.
That's why we have insurance,
of,
right?
But,
so we know what he should have done. But what
but
he did
he wasn't
do,
doing a job. He wasn't doing a job.
Right. He was not operating the pump in that sense. And I'll even go this far. This is not a question of maintenance versus operation. It is conceivable that in the course of maintenance, repair work, you could be operating the equipment. That's possible. That's not this case, because he was not in any way operating the pump. He covered the top, he checked it, and he pushed the button to see if it would work. So in that sense, this is not that far removed from the case of driving the truck down the road and something falls off. This is not an exclusion for the running the pump or bumping into the pump or having the pump fall off its operation. Now,
well, if the truck with the pump fixed, if you drove it to a job site and you parked it and then the person operated the pump and was injured, would that injury be covered by Landmark's policy?
It could be. On that scenario,
only
could be.
It sounds like it would clearly be.
I don't know. I'd have to think that through, to be honest with you.
But that's why you have a CGL policy, for goodness sake.
Well, we do have a CGL policy, again, for the operation of the pump.
Exactly.
But the pump was not operating here. It was sitting in the lot.
No, but in the hypothetical I gave you, the car's not operating, and you stop at a job, and you're operating the pump and doing the job. And you don't want to say it would be covered. You want to say it could be covered.
Well, you said you're operating the pump and doing the job.
No, here's what I said. I wrote it down, so I'm going to repeat it again. I'll give you a second. Chance. If a truck with a pump affixed to it drove to a job site and parked and a person then operated the pump and was injured, would that injury be covered by Landmark's general liability policy?
Covered.
Thank you.
I'll give you that. Okay. But again, let's What's talk about why that's different from this case.
The insurance policy uses the term operate. And isn't the plain dictionary definition of operate means to cause the function? So going back to your explanation of what happened here, when he pushed the button, he caused it to function. That's operation within the meaning of the language of the policy, no?
I would respectfully disagree with that, because operation, in common parlance, means putting it to its intended use, its function. Checking it to see if it will turn on, if it will work, is not part of operation. That's why in the other example here, where Your Honor said, if you go to, it doesn't necessarily have to be at a job site in use, although that's a clear example. But if you are in the repair shop and you're just checking it with a repairman who has nothing to do with pumping concrete or asphalt onto roofs, that's not what he does. He's not connected with that. Now, again, if we stretch out, we're in hypothetical land. If during the course of the maintenance repair, he had to run it for a while and pump concrete to asphalt to see if it was working, that might be different. But we're confined to what actually happened here with the stipulated facts. He did not engage the pump. It was not part of operation. So operation means something more than turning on or running or checking.
So let me understand. He welded something, and it had nothing to do with the operations of the pump or the maintenance of the pump, just welded a piece onto the machine. And then he decided to turn the pump on. For what reason, we have no idea. So he really wasn't doing maintenance then, because he didn't do anything to repair the pump, correct?
No. He was called out because there was a noise in the pump. He figured out the noise is called because it wasn't welded properly.
Right, so he welded it. Yeah, and then he decided to turn on the pump for God knows what reason.
To see if it was still making the noise, right?
That
was what he was called out in the first place.
He was testing it to see if the fix worked.
And then that's your maintenance exclusion.
We exclude maintenance, right, with a car back for operations in the course of maintenance.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this question. What if we decide that neither one of you has liability and you've already paid the money for the settlement of the case? You're both out of luck, right? First of all, I want to thank both of you for deciding to settle the underlying case and split the difference. I think that's very professional, okay? And your company should be proud of that. But maybe you both lose.
I don't think that's the outcome, but I understand the point. And
I asked you the question, and I didn't finish it. So what happens if we find neither of you have liability? Then what happens? Are you going to sue somebody else?
I don't think we have anyone else to sue.
I don't think so either.
I think we'll both take our losses in that scenario.
Under your analysis, if you park at a job site and the operator pushes a button, but before he gets a chance to, you know, take care, spray the roof or whatever the correct terminology is, but he just pushes that button, that's part of operation. They're at a job site, right? He's pushing the button for its intended function.
He's an operator.
But then for this situation, somebody's out to repair it. They push the very same button, and there's no liability. Exact same conduct, but liability in one instance, no liability in the other. Is that your hypothetical?
I'll accept that because, again, in the context of operations, that's what their exclusion is for operations. Our carback is for operations. It's not for running, testing, those kinds of things. So we have to look at the context, ultimately, of what's happening. And so if you have someone who is going to operate it, and once the moment she starts that.
But the problem is there isn't anything in the policy language that tells us to consider the context, look at it, look at the intent of the person who pushes the button. There isn't anything that tells us to do that.
Well, the policy tells us that both policies say operations of this particular enumerated equipment. So it's not operation of the vehicle as a whole. It's an operating these portions of what are part of the mobile equipment definition, in this case, the pump. So we're ultimately zeroing back to the question of, was this part of the operation of the pump, or was it incidental to that, and the fact that a repair person happened to get hurt by the pump because he pressed the button and they didn't have the proper cover on the top. So at the end, that's why I think the district court was correct to conclude that when you look at these particular facts, this person doing what he did, this does not fall in the rubric of the operations of the pump. Thank you.
Thank you. We normally don't raise this because I'm assuming the parties know about it. It's all over our website and it's fairly well known, but we have a very vibrant mediation program with skilled mediators. And so if the parties are interested in it, you can send the court something and tell us you're interested in that.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
I think that the discussion of the hypotheticals that you just engaged in with Landmark's counsel really illustrate what's wrong with the result in this case, and that is, indisputably, Mr. Clark was injured because he turned on the pump. Operation means functioning. The pump engaged and spewed tar out of it. There was injury arising out of operation of the pump. And what the hypotheticals illustrate is that instead of applying that policy language, the district court read in restrictions that do not exist.
They have an exclusion for maintenance of equipment, right? And if their exclusion overrides otherwise coverage, just like your argument, then he didn't have any coverage either.
The exception restores the coverage that is otherwise excluded for maintenance under the Landmark policy. And here, some of the hypotheticals were, well, if someone was at the yard, Mr. Clark was at the yard, he turns on the pump to test it and to see if it's operating, and through negligence, whatever, doesn't check that it's disengaged of the spraying equipment, and he gets sprayed. Well, counsel said if he had done that and had to see that it was operating for a certain amount of time, then it would be covered under the CGL. Well, because it's operating, and because the injury.
So is his maintenance, is that an exclusion or just a limitation?
That is an exclusion with an exception.
And the exception is?
And the exception is, this is the way it looks on the printed page. This in the landmark policy, this policy does not cover maintenance, but this exclusion does not apply to injury arising out of the operation of pump
spring
equipment.
Right, and let me just read you what the district court said, because the district court, was it Judge Staton in this case?
Yes.
She tethered her analysis to the stipulated facts in concluding that it was maintenance, and she said, as set forth in the party's joint stipulation, after completing his repairs, Clark pulled the start cord to see if the tars in the tank was hot enough. I'm skipping a few words here in the interest of time, but he did it to check to see if it was secure and operational. The only reasonable inference is that Clark was injured while performing a maintenance role. This conclusion is further supported by the complete absence of evidence suggesting that Clark had the intent, ability, or permission to operate the Ford tanker for any non-maintenance-related purposes. So it doesn't really help to go back to the policy language in a way, because the district court understood the policy language, but she found that the scope of his conduct fell within maintenance.
And I think that's a misapprehension of how an exception to an exclusion works in a policy and a reading in of terms that are not in that exclusion in the CGL policy.
I kind of think that what this really comes down to is the person that got these policies really intended to cover this sort of activity, and maybe the insurance companies could do a little better job writing things.
There's always room for improvement, I suppose.
Well, I think this is an example where there could be some improvement. I think you're in overtime, unless either of my colleagues have any questions.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you both for your argument. This matter will stand submitted.